She must have had a walk with God. She dwelt there under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him. So, as she was sitting there day after day, fulfilling the call of God that was on her life, doing what God had called her to do, she was relating to the Lord all that while, looking to the Lord for righteous judgment. And the Lord began to speak to her and said to her, I want you to call a man who could lead an insurrection here. A man whose name was, I guess you pronounce it, Barak, the son of Abinoam. And he was in a place called Kadesh Naphtali. Call him. Call him. Give him the divine call to activate, to get moving. It's time. It is now time. God says it's time to get up from where you are, from where you've settled to be, and begin to move with God. God is going to move. So we need to move with him. Listen to what she says. Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? So she was hearing this in her spirit. She was awakening to the call of God that it was time for this bondage to end. She says to Barak, go and draw toward Tabor and take with you 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun. It is time. Let's make a move. Let us make a move. And he began to hear this in his spirit. So there was a move of God about to take place, and there were some people who began to hear it. She began to initiate some movement that they were going to flow along with what God was doing to free the people. So she called him to come with 10,000 people, an army. And I will draw unto thee, verse 7, to the river of Kishon, Sisera. I will cause Sisera to come, the captain of Jabin's army, and with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into your hand. So she was going to set up the situation where the enemy could be defeated. God was about to bring about his movement, for the time for their deliverance was at hand. Now, I sometimes wonder if all this took place because the children of Israel began to cry. They began to get out of a complacency. They put up with this and lived under this for 20 years. And then there was a cry produced. Sometimes there's no cry in our heart to change the status quo because we have been lulled asleep by conditions in the world. We kind of accept the evil that comes upon us. We accept all these cultural things that are contrary to the Word of God. We just accept them. Oh, well, that's the way of the world. And the church just sits here and we accept it. But we don't realize that we're slowly being cooked. We're slowly becoming, we're coming into a state where unless we hear some divine intervention, we won't be able to throw off all of this evil. This evil will begin to overtake us. Where is the cry coming from the children of Israel? Where is the cry against this evil? The church, I believe, has fallen asleep. Not just here in America, and we just came back from Costa Rica, and I think the same thing is there. People are saying, well, there's a move of God here, there's a move of God there. But frankly, people, I'm afraid that the Lord is waiting for a genuine cry to come from our hearts because of the evil that is in our day. And until there comes a cry from the heart of the church, that the church begins to open her eyes and assess the situation, there's an alarm that comes in your spirit, and you begin to cry out because of the evil. This is what happened in the day of Deborah. And so God raised her up, and Barak also answered the call. And so there were two that were agreed in that thing, in touch, as touching that thing. And God was going to move, and he did. And verse 8, let's read verse 8. And Barak said to her, if you will go up with me, then I will go. But if you will not go up with me, then I will not go. He realized that there had to be agreement in the body of Christ. He realized that there had to be more than just one person, that there had to be some agreement. Two is the number of testimony. It's the number of agreement. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Two do walk together. And those who are able to agree in walking together get the will of the Lord done. So she and Barak, Deborah and Barak, got together and agreed over this move of God that was coming and agreed to lay down their lives, if necessary, to get this done. And God said, I will deliver you. I will be with you. I will deliver you. Verse 10. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet. And Deborah went up with him. So here comes the second word. We spoke about awake. Now we're going to speak about arise. It's one thing to awake and be aware of conditions. It's another thing to arise to action. So they awoke, God woke them up, and they responded. And so they began to arise. And it says here in verse 14, Deborah said to Barak, up! And that is the same word for arise. It's what it means. Arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Is not the Lord gone out before you? So there was had to be a response. There had to be a waking up and then an arisal. Sometimes when we wake up to conditions, we just don't know what to do. Well, the first thing that we could do is cry unto the Lord. Get into a serious intercessory mode. Begin to decry the evil. Begin to declare what it is, expose it, and then arise to begin in the spirit to ask the Lord to do something. You know, the giants that we face in our culture today are so big, it looks like there's 900 chariots of iron all around us, and we will not be able to get out of the grip of the evil that has come upon our culture, our land, our people. But God, it takes a people who awake. It takes a people who know their God and are strong, and they will do exploits. They will arise. They will agree with God and arise. What does that look like for us? Well, it's not that we're going to call a guy named Barak and get a big army together. It's not going to be like that. But the first step would be to shed off complacency, shed off lethargy, shed off apathy, shed off just being intoxicated. I got saved when I was 15. And so I was pretty young, and the Lord began to deal with me to sanctify my life. I was a pretty goody two-shoes. I didn't have, you know, a lot of big things that I had to repent of. But that's what I thought. Until the Lord started dealing with me, He had to get rid of my beliefs, my worldly beliefs and certain things. And I didn't have that much time as a 15-year-old back then to experience drunkenness and all that stuff. So I really don't know what it's really about to be intoxicated. But from what I've seen, it takes away your ability to make sound judgment. Takes away your ability to discern what's around. It takes away your ability to figure out what's real, what's really happening. And the church has drunk a cup of intoxication. We have become intoxicated by the world and by its values, by what the world is calling unto us to be, just not fanatics. You know, we mustn't be overboard, or we mustn't be some of those weirdos, you know, like John the Baptist or somebody like that. No, but the Lord is calling us. We are aware of conditions, but will we arise? That's the question. Get up, Barak. Get up. Get the people. Get up. Christ will give you light if you get up. Arise, shine. Christ will give you light. He'll give you the ability to see. He'll cause you to know. He'll give you further revelation. Get up. We just read the scripture where it says that we need to redeem the time. Redeem it. In other words, spend it wisely. Spend our time wisely. The days are evil. You ever faced a challenge and you put it off, and by the time the challenge is in front of you, you don't have enough time to get it done, to get prepared and get done. It's like, you ever heard of cramming for an exam? Sometimes it doesn't turn out that well, because we could have been redeeming the time earlier and studying and getting ready. But God is calling the church to redeem the time, because around us we don't realize how evil the days are and what is happening to the church. So it's time to arise. And then finally, we're going to talk about the word ready. Get ready. The word ready, when you see it in the New Testament, it means to be fit. And That's another thing that we need to attack daily. Fitness. Oh, I'm in a 5K race and I haven't practiced yet. Well, how is that going to go? We have to spend time getting ready. Spend time, invest effort to get ready, to be ready, to be fit. In other words, we'll have to focus on one thing, and that's to be ready for our King. He's coming back. He's coming back. We have to be ready. Fitness. It means to be adjusted. And adjusted means that every part of our being is coming into alignment to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I realize that as we go on, that many dangers are not only on the outside, but they're on the inside.